like my next guest, our next guest knows, David Pignota of the Fourth Period. 8 o'clock Spro. It's never a bad time for a Spro.
I'm about to do one on the hour every hour with Toronto entering lockdown next week. So it's gonna need a couple extra pots over here.
Yeah, throw in a little sambuca, maybe Irish cream every once in a while.
Not so much the Irish cream, but okay. A case of sambuca for the next week will be good.
Okay, Dave, I want you to be honest. Have you seen Dan's fleets, and what do you think of his Spro fleets? Be honest.
I have not, because I'm still trying to comprehend this fleet thing.
It's basically Instagram stories.
I get that, but what is fleet? What is that? How is that? Where did that come about, the word for these little story live thingies on Twitter? What is this?
I guess because they're fleeting. They're not permanent, so they're just they're fleeting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hold on. I'll look it up in Urban Dictionary, guys. Hold up.
Yeah, I'm not cool anymore. I don't know what any of these things mean.
Okay. I definitely want to get to some of the pressing needs of the NHL season and the return to play. But, I need your take on Rudy Giuliani channeling his inner Joe Pesci in his My Cousin Vinny yesterday. Not great.
That was about the only thing I didn't mind from his little spiel. And the sweat was great. That was good. You know, when you're in that position, maybe invest in a hairstylist that can fix things up a little bit better.
Now
the trip down the cheek, that was great.
My Cousin Vinny, like it's a 5-star movie, and it almost got ruined yesterday.
It really did. But I don't know, guys. I have no words really to describe that whole thing that he said, that little press conference that he had. It was. Yeah, that was something else. On the bright side, you know what's funny? He probably watched My Cousin Vinny like in the last week, because it's been on TV here, at least for me. I've seen it like 3 times in the last 7 or 10 days. So this guy probably saw the same thing and then decided to bust that out because he probably had a brain fart or something.
Yeah, it seemed like he had a few of those. You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by David Pignota as we are every Friday here on Reach Deep. And Dave, looking at the NHL, and I know we just had a chat with Harky Singh about it from an agent's perspective, but what changed in the league's financial outlook that the salary deferrals are now on the table? Like, what changed? When did it change?
It was forecasted. There were a few different forecasts that came out when they went about this whole situation, when they went about redefining and extending the CBA. And where they forecasted, in order to get the numbers that they did as part of the current CBA or the newly ratified CBA, was kind of middle ground. Well, unfortunately, the outcome has been worse. And as things have continued to get worse across the continent, from the pandemic perspective, it's resulted in some of those economic figures being worse off than they originally anticipated. Even though they were forecasted for different, you know, worst case scenarios that were played out. So now we're in a different position where, yeah, we're not going to be as open, or things aren't going to open up as quickly as they may have believed or forecasted themselves. And as a result, the losses are going to be extended beyond the points that they initially thought. As a result, they've come back to the NHLPA and said, look, things are worse. We're hoping for some concessions here. Can we figure something out? And I think they will get there to some extent. But this escrow business, I don't believe, is going to be part of it. I think the players are going to stand pretty darn firm on not increasing that figure. The other figure, which is effectively a loan going to the NHL, which is the current 10% deferral payments for this season, I could see that increasing because that gets paid back. Again, that's more or less a loan that's going back to the owners, so they don't take as much of an immediate hit. I think that could increase to what number, I'm not sure. I think there would be more of an appetite for it, but they're going to have a discussion. I believe there was already a talk today within the membership. I believe that those conversations will continue over the next couple of days, and then they'll try to figure something out. One thing that's for sure is that both the players and the league want to play and expect to play some point in January. It's just a matter now of trying to figure out and what's going on with this little hurdle that the NHL presented everybody with.
Well, that's why I remain optimistic, Dave, just in the sense, like, as much as this is a bit of a snag and it certainly has to get figured out, there still seems to be like a lot of work going on to make sure that the NHL will be ready for, as they continue to push, Jan 1, but more likely Jan 15 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly outlined a variety of different scenarios in place based on when they're going to start the season. So if it's Jan 1, Jan 5, Jan 10, the anticipation is January, and then there's a couple options for a February start at some point in February, Feb 1, and then I don't know the other dates. But there's a variety of different options, and all of those options revolve around center around how many games are going to be played this coming season. They want the Game 7 last possible date for the Stanley Cup Final to be July 15th. That includes a bit of a buffer zone. So if they start, well, really whenever they start, there's going to be a buffer zone between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs to allow for any postponement of games that occur during the season. Those would move to the end of the regular season to be played out. If there aren't any, then that's awesome. Or if there's a limited amount, great. They'll start the playoffs sooner, and we won't get to that point in terms of a mid-July final. But they're working backwards on it, which is understandable. They've picked their end date, and then they go back from there. So if we start Jan 1, they can get 60-some-odd games in. If we're looking at the 15th, you're probably going to be in the mid to high 50s and so on and so on. But all of these avenues have been mapped out. It's really now just figuring out how they're going to play out this little financial situation that they're dealing with. And it certainly looks, while I was told for the last few weeks that a Canadian division might not be the case, it's looking like it's definitely going to be the case for this season.
Well, the Raptors playing in Tampa Bay and the decision coming down basically today from the federal government, is that pretty much rubber stamp the Canadian division is official then?
Almost. After that news came out, I exchanged some messages with a high-ranking official with the NHL, and this person told me that effectively that's the case. It hasn't been finalized, but it is the leading option at the moment as part of how this coming season is going to look from a realignment perspective, which will only be, again, for this season. But, I mean, it pretty much rubber stamps it. It's just it hasn't been official yet from an NHL perspective because they haven't gotten to that point. But at this point, based on the determination for the Raps, I would be pretty shocked if we don't see a Canadian division at this point for this coming season.
David Pignota, our guest. And, you know, that does bring up a lot of different things and different ideas. But one thing we have talked about today on the show is, you know, what could stick around through all the return to play measures that have been made. I doubt a Canadian division is one of those things, but, you know, we're going to see baseball-ic type series, right? With playing the same team, three games in four nights sort of a thing. Maybe expanded playoffs. Is there anything that's happening in the return to play that you expect to be permanent?
Definitely not expanded playoffs. The NHL people that I've spoken to anyway have been very adamant that will not be a regular thing. I don't expect it right now for this season either. I anticipate the playoffs being what they were prior to last season. And they definitely don't want it going beyond this COVID situation that we're all dealing with. So last season's play-in round, probably an anomaly. Hopefully from the NHL's perspective, that's what it is. So I wouldn't anticipate that being a regular thing. Realignment, I don't foresee that being something as well. I mean, remember, when Seattle enters the mix, they'll be part of the Pacific Division. Arizona's moving over to the other division as well. So that would be the only change that they're foreseeing or projecting at this point. But that would be that would be it. They want to get back to as normal as they can for the 21-22 season when Seattle enters the league officially from a playing perspective. They want that to be as normal as possible. And that's part of the reason as well why they're trying, you know, let me finish the thought. While they're trying to get, you know, 60 games or in and around 60 games as a max for this coming season, because for the longest time, the league had tried to push as many games as they could, try to get to 82 or close to it, high 70s for this coming season. But they don't want to, A, have too many games being played, and injuries are certainly a factor when you get to that point. And B, they don't want the season to prolong because they want to make sure that the following season is as normal as possible, which means an October start. They feel they can still get there, even, you know, given all the stuff that we're dealing with right now from a COVID perspective. But that's a priority for the NHL, is to get back on track from some sense of normalcy season-wise for 21-22.
Well, we're 10 days away from December, which, you know, I know certain players like Braden Holtby are working in their way into their playing cities, but we still have some big free agents that haven't been signed. Mike Hoffman, Mikael Granlund, the same guys we talked about last week. Where does the situation stand a week later, Dave?
I would anticipate that things really start to ramp up early December. Once we have a definitive idea as to when the season is going to start, there hasn't been much traction to this point. There's been there's some teams that are trying to get ahead of things a little bit. There's been some discussions with some clubs kind of poking around. I know Calgary and Boston have had a conversation, I believe, surrounding Noah Hanifin. Whether that progresses, not too sure. Still a little early to tell there. But some teams are trying to get a bit of a head start before things really ramp up, because in 10 days or less, or, you know, in and around that, we have a definitive idea as to what the season is going to look like, when it's going to start. December is going to be really, really hectic for the NHL. Teams are going to get everyone back into their cities. They're going to get training camps underway. The seven teams that missed the return to play last season will have about 7 to 10 more days than the other clubs to get things going for this season. Teams have to be cap compliant for the start of the regular season. Teams have to shore up some of the restricted free agents, and then, as you mentioned, some of the UFAs out there. So this is going to be a really busy month coming up once the NHL finalizes their season start date. But so far, guys, still relatively quiet across the board, especially on the UFA front. And by the way, Holtby's back in Canada. They figured it out.
Yeah.
Him and the Tortoises, they're back in Alberta, and they'll be coming over to Vancouver pretty soon.
It's a joyous day for the two turtles, the two tortoises, tortai. We haven't figured out the maple and honey.
Yes.
Did you get your Garrett Gilbert jersey yet? Big Cowboys fan, I know.
Oh man, I thought we were going to avoid those guys. You know, it was last weekend was great because the Cowboys didn't play. They had the bye week. I didn't have to deal with nothing. It's going to be, I mean, they're playing Minnesota, so who knows?
Yeah.
They're still going to lose.
No, they're still going to lose. They're 7-point dogs against the Vikings. You know, it's bad when, right?
Yeah, that's no good. That's just, is Aikman still in the booth, or can he come out for a bit? What's he doing?
Yeah, maybe get Romo to fill in. But I know he's got that cushy job with Jim Nantz.
Yeah, and then they'll get into a pressure situation, and they'll just cough up an interception and just forget it.
Dave, appreciate the time as always, man. All the best.
All right, take care, guys.